For our scripture reading, we turn to the book of John, John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we'll read verses 11 through 39. Starting at verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then, art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. And said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So far we read from the Holy Scriptures this morning. And the passage that we read and the rest of Scripture are the basis for the teaching of our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 8. There we read, How are these articles divided? Referring to the articles of the Apostles' Creed that were referred to in the previous Lord's Day. How are these articles divided? Into three parts. The first is of God the Father and our creation. The second of God the Son and our redemption. The third of God the Holy Ghost and our sanctification. Since there is but one only divine essence, why speakest thou of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Because God hath so revealed himself in his word that these three distinct persons are the one only true and eternal God. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, in providence of God, at this time we're up to Lord's Day 8, which is on the Trinity. And at first, somebody may think on that and wonder, now how, you know, the Trinity, three persons and one God, how's that going to go with baptism? But of course, then if you start thinking about it more, you recognize that when you read the baptism form, it starts talking about the Trinity. Baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And that it talks about when we are baptized in the name of the Father and so on. When we're baptized in the name of the Son, and we see that when we talk about baptism, how God directs us to think about the Trinity. In fact, the form that we use when we sprinkle the water and say, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That we are directed to think about the fact that there are three persons. Three persons in God. There is fellowship within God. And when we think of the covenant, we think of the covenant as a relationship of friendship. And we think of how there is fellowship within God. And he brings us into fellowship with him. We recognize that it's not only when Jesus gave instruction to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, that we see a connection there in Scripture between baptism and the Trinity. But we recognize also one of the proofs for the Trinity, again, is related to baptism. We think of the baptism of Christ. And we think of the Father speaking, and the Son is there, and we think of the Spirit descending in the form of a dove. And we point out to the fact that we see the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and abode on him. We think the Spirit, we think of the Son, we think of the Father. Connection with our Lord's baptism. clearly there's an important connection. And that when we think about baptism and when we think about giving instruction to our children, it's important that we think about the Trinity. It's important that we think about the fellowship that God has within himself, how we're brought into that fellowship, into fellowship with God, and how we are to have fellowship in our homes, together fellowshipping with God. And talking about the work of the Son and our redemption, the work of God the Father and our creation, God the Son and our redemption, God the Holy Ghost and our sanctification. We consider this Lord's Day under the theme, the Trinity and baptism. We consider, first of all, the baptizer. The text we read makes a distinction between the one who administers the sign and the one who baptizes with the Holy Ghost. We consider, first of all, the baptizer, and in that connection, too, we talk about the doctrine of the Trinity. Secondly, we talk about the washing, the cleansing that is referred to here. And then thirdly, the fellowship, the Trinity and baptism, the baptizer, the washing, and the fellowship. As far as the baptizer, it is important for us to see and to teach that the one who washes us is Christ. It's important for us to see and to give instruction about Christ. You know, when we give instruction to young children and you ask various questions, they'll often answer God. You know, you ask them, who does this? God. Who does that? God. It's important to give instruction on the mediator. It's true, our salvation is all of God. It's important for us when we give instruction about salvation that's all of God that we bring up the mediator and that we talk about the mediator, that we talk about Jesus Christ, who is both God and man. We talk about Christ, who washes us. He is the one who baptizes. So, for example, when we're talking about our baptism, who's the one that baptizes? Like someone might say, who baptized you? Sometimes that question is asked of someone, you know, years ago you were baptized. Who was it that baptized you? Now, when you hear that question, you're thinking that they're talking about who administered the sacrament. And then maybe you know, and then you can answer, or maybe you have to look it up because you've forgotten who they told you baptized you. But we recognize that the one who baptizes with the Holy Ghost is Christ. The minister administers the sacrament, but our Lord is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and who cleanses us. The real cleansing and how important that distinction is. And John the Baptist in this context is bringing that out. I baptize with water. And he keeps directing people to Christ as they're coming to him and saying, why baptizest thou then? If thou be not that Christ, why are you baptizing? Nor Elijah, nor that prophet. Why are you baptizing? And he brings out, down as we go a little farther, he says, I baptize with water. But there's another who's preferred. He's the one who baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Christ baptizes us. He washes us. We are washed through Christ. Our sins are washed away through Christ. And what about the Spirit? What about the Spirit then? Well, we say also that the Spirit cleanses us. The blood of Jesus Christ only and the Holy Ghost cleanse us from all sin. So we talk about the Spirit cleansing us. Talking about Christ and the Spirit, there's reference to Christ washing us with his blood and Spirit. We think of question 71 of the Heidelberg. Where has Christ promised us that he will certainly wash us by his blood and Spirit? Christ washes us. He's the one that washes us, and he does it by his or with his blood and Spirit. So we think about the Son. We think about the Spirit. We think about the Son who is the Son of the Father. When we talk about baptism, we're directed to think about the Trinity. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Three persons, a plurality of persons. That is clearly indicated here. And in the Old Testament, we talk about how early on in the book of Genesis, we read of a plurality of persons when God says, "Let us make man. Let us make man." And we think of the messenger of Jehovah. And we think of the Spirit. And the Nicene Creed speaks of how the Spirit spake by the prophets. And so we think of already in the old dispensation, there was a setting forth of a plurality of persons. But we recognize that now in the New Testament, we have set forth more clearly the truth concerning the Trinity. A plurality of persons, one single essence. Not three almighties. We read the Athanasian, we confessed the Athanasian Creed not too long ago. Not three almighties. That's one way to talk about, what do you mean by one essence? Well, there's not three almighties, but one almighty. There's not three infinites, but one infinite. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Ghost is God, but they're not three gods. They are one God. It's important not to use an illustration that amounts to teaching that these are three parts. It's perhaps one of the more common ways that sometimes people try to explain, and they're trying to explain to children, and they think, well, I'm going to talk about something that has three parts. Maybe an egg, or maybe an apple, like the core of the apple and the skin of the apple and what's in between, and you got these three different sections, and yet you've got one apple. You could do something similar with an egg. But we recognize that when we're talking about the Trinity, it's not that God is not composed of parts. Each one is fully God. There are three distinct persons, and there's a distinction. The Father is the only one that begets. The Son is the only one that's begotten. The Holy Spirit is the one that is breathed forth. He's breathed forth from the Father and from the Son. But they're not three parts. The persons are not parts. We speak of God as being simple, meaning that not composed of parts. Three persons, one divine essence. As the Lord's Day says, there's one only divine essence and three distinct persons who are the one only true and eternal God. Now, the washing that's referred to in this, in when we talk about baptism, we talk about washing, cleansing. We think of, in this Lord's Day speaks of God the Father and our creation, and we're going to be, Lord willing, going into that. God the Son and our redemption, and God the Holy Ghost and our sanctification. Very often when we speak about baptism, you see a reference to the blood and to the Spirit. The Son who has redeemed us, whose blood was poured out, the Spirit who sanctifies us. And then many places, and that's something for us to take note of, we see it in, for example, in the baptism form, we see it in the Heidelberg Catechism, for example, that when we talk about baptism, we are directed to think about the blood and the Spirit. Like, for example, Lord's Day 26 says, we receive forgiveness for the sake of Christ's blood. Then what about this reference to the Spirit? Then it says, we are renewed by the Spirit. And we more and more die unto sin and lead holy lives. You think of the reference to the Holy Ghost and our sanctification. Or you think of Lord's Day 27, the next Lord's Day. What is promised to our children? There's a specific reference to infant baptism. What is the promise to our children? And it says in answer 74 that since they, as well as the adult, are included in the covenant and church of God, and since, and this is what is promised to them, redemption from sin by the blood of Christ. There's the reference to the blood. God, the Son, and our redemption. Redemption from sin by the blood of Christ is promised to them. Now, we recognize it's promised to the elect. It's interesting, too, when that it's limited to the elect is brought up in the baptism form. Because notice when it talks about the Holy Ghost, it says at the end of that section, it says, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. So clearly we're talking about the elect. The baptism form makes that clear. It's not that there's a promise to each and every child head for head, but to the elect children. But now back to what's promised to them. Redemption from sin by the blood of Christ. And then now, blood, Spirit. The next section is about the Spirit. What else is promised to them? The Holy Ghost, the author of faith, or the Holy Ghost who works faith, is promised to them. Now, that clearly brings out that faith isn't a condition. The Holy Ghost is promised to them, and the Holy Ghost is the one who works faith. And it brings out how important it is to explain both of these to the children. That what is promised to them? Redemption by the blood of Christ and the Holy Ghost. Well, what does the Holy Ghost do? He works faith. The Holy Ghost is promised to us and to our children. It's promised to our children no less than to the adult. They must, therefore, by baptism as a sign of the covenant, be also admitted into the Christian church and distinguished from the children of unbelievers. And bringing out to our children how they are distinguished from. You children, distinguished from. The children of unbelievers. We say in the baptism form, we thank God who has forgiven us through Christ's blood and received us as members of Christ by the Spirit. You know, when we think of the baptism form and we read it frequently and familiar with the words, the things that are said there when we're baptized in the name of the Father, when we're baptized in the name of the Son, and so on, that brings out in those sections things for us to be talking with our children about personally. And I bring out, too, that importance of personal instruction. What I mean by that is each one of us can recognize that it can be one thing if we have the Bible open and we're saying something to the children. We read a passage, we speak a little about that passage, we close in prayer. But we recognize also in our interactions throughout the day and in the different trials that we go through together that it's important that we bring up the subjects that we mention, that we bring up what God has taught us, that we bring up the subjects that are talked about when they're baptized. God has made an everlasting covenant with us. You know, when we're baptized in the name of the Father, we think of how God is our Father. You know, we read, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But of God. God is your Father. God has made an everlasting covenant with you. And you think of the comfort of what is brought out there when it says, with regard to God the Father, that He will provide us with every good thing. He'll provide us with every good thing. Avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And you think of how important it is to be bringing that to the children. Also at specific times when they may be afraid. You know, when our children are younger, they may be afraid of a storm. And then we may talk to them about the storm, and we may go in to the bedroom and talk to them and try to comfort them and to calm them. We recognize, too, as they grow older, that they can have things that they're afraid of. It could be a person that they're afraid of. And it may be that we don't know that. There's various things that they could be afraid of. And how important it is that we talk with them, that we commune with them, and that we bring up the things that are mentioned here. You know, God's made an everlasting covenant with us. He'll provide us with everything we need. Every good thing. He'll avert evil or turn it to our profit. He's with us. How important it is for us to watch over our children and to encourage them. There can be times that they're nervous, times that they're anxious, times that they're worried. And it's important that we constantly bring the word to them. And talk about the things that are mentioned when they're baptized. Or you think of their struggles with sin. For our children grow to recognize that they're sinners. And they do things that they're ashamed of. They've said things they've done things, and they know that was wrong, what they did. And they feel ashamed of things they've done. And how important it is for us to talk about God the Son and our redemption by his blood. Behold the Lamb, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb. And you think of how John the Baptist is pointing out the Christ, and you think parents pointing out the Christ to the children. Behold the Lamb who paid for our sins, redeemed, delivered. He speaks to us. We hear his voice. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. You hear Christ's voice. Christ who redeemed you. The Holy Spirit. What does it say about the Holy Spirit? It says about the Holy Spirit, when we're baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by his holy sacrament, by this holy sacrament, that he will dwell in us. And you think of bringing that out too, not only talking about what Christ has done for us, we hear Christ's voice, bringing out the Spirit of Christ is in you. He will dwell in us. He assures us when we're baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by the sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives. Till we shall finally, and we talk about our hope, we'll finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. When we think of vowing that we will give instruction in the doctrine, we see how in our baptism form we have laid out beautifully with regard to baptism, things to talk about with regard to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We have fellowship with God. God who has fellowship within himself. We have fellowship with him. We say we believe in, and the Apostles' Creed say, I believe in God the Father. We say that. And then we say a little bit later, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord. And then I believe in the Holy Spirit. There's unity in the Trinity. There's a one being, three persons. Those joined to Christ are then also united with one another. God says that he would give his people one heart, one heart. And you think of how we read in Ephesians 4 of that there's one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. When we think about the covenant and we think about fellowship with God and that we're brought into fellowship with the living God, when we think of the fact that the covenant is made with us and our children, we think of the fact that we have covenant fellowship with our children. You know, when you think of those of the world, you can talk about various things with people of the world that have to do with earthly things and so on. But as far as fellowship, covenant, communion, and fellowship, you can have fellowship with those that, you know, are of one faith, where the Spirit is within you and that you together talk about the things of God. Well, think of what a blessing it is that God speaks of what he promises not only to us but to our children. And that we have fellowship then with our children in our homes. The elect children, of course. Of course, we don't know who the elect are. But we bring up just simply the fact that the blessings of God that are given to us and to our children, the fact that we can talk together about the things of God and what a blessing that is. And as you children grow up and mature and talk with us, about the things you believe, what a joy that is. What a joy that is for parents to have children that will speak up and talk. Now, some are more inclined to do that. Some are more talkative in other matters, too. And some, when a subject comes up, they're more quickly to speak up about the things that are on their mind. And some can be more quiet about these things. How important it is for us to encourage talking together. And what a joy it is for parents to hear their children talk. Talk about the things that are important to them. And as we study a passage, to bring up comments or ask questions, and for us together to talk about it. In fact, we talked about parents encouraging children. There's times when children encourage their parents. Sometimes they can see that their parents are afraid, that their parents are nervous. Because we are older, there's times when we can be afraid, nervous about what might happen. There can be various things we're worried about, and sometimes our children notice. And how important it is for us together to talk about what God has promised us. To talk about the covenant he's made with us and our children. Covenant fellowship together. What a blessing the Lord has given us. May we together be diligent in the work to which the Lord has called us. May we think about his promises. May we think about our calling. May we think of what he has called us to do. And may we, out of thankfulness, live to the glory and praise of his name. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, our God and our Father, we are very thankful, O Lord, for thy grace. We are thankful for the covenant thou hast made with us and with our children. We ask thy blessing upon us and upon the little ones as we seek to care for them, and upon our children as they grow older. May we together, O Lord, talk about the things thou hast made known to us. May we together praise thy holy name. In Christ's name.